Hey there, today Catherine and I are talking about introverts and extroverts, both in ourselves and our kids, and how we can help both our introverted kids and our extroverted kids navigate this busy holiday season. Hey there, my name is Matthew, and I'm a nuclear launch officer in the United States Air Force and author of Nuclear Leadership.
And I'm Catherine, military wife and homeschool mama. Together, we have three kids, Garrett, who's 10, Renee, who's 8, and Riley Ann, who's 5.
And this is our nuclear family.
See what we did there? Nuclear launch officer, get it?
Catherine and I could talk about parenting for hours.
But hours are scarce around here, and for most of us, the years are short, but the days are long.
So that's why for the next 30 minutes, we hope to spark some ideas and encourage you on a specific parenting topic.
We're not experts, but we do believe parenting is done better in community and that we can all learn from one another.
So strap in as we launch into the conversation.
Hey, babe.
Hey, how are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. We're in the full throes of the holiday season.
Yes.
Now that we're past Thanksgiving.
Yes. It's exciting. I love Christmas.
I know. It's so good.
So good.
But it's also so much.
Yeah, it can be. It really can be. We were lucky enough to go to a friend's house for Thanksgiving, and my dad even came up from Denver just after a crazy amount of weird, unusual circumstances. My mom was gone, and my sister's in North Carolina, all the things. So we're able to have my dad here, and he came with us, which was good. But that brought to mind this crazy season and kind of how it affects our kids with their different personalities, specifically introverts and extroverts.
Yeah, because whether our kids are introverts or extroverts, they are affected by this crazy time that we have where we have, you know, from Thanksgiving to Christmas, especially, you know, Thanksgiving, we have usually a large get together. But then even in the lead up to Christmas, where we're going to be with more family there at Christmas time, in the lead up, we have usually a party or two for work, you know, or for, you know,
cookie making or
just added play dates because people are off and we all want to be together and all that. So
exactly.
There's a lot of opportunities for engagement with other kids and other adults.
Yeah.
And some cases, people you know, some cases, people you don't know.
Right. Well, and it's funny because we were kind of talking about this before Thanksgiving when one of the children's pastors at church asked me, he goes, "Man, where does Garrett get his extrovertedness from? Is it from you or Matthew?" And I almost started laughing. I didn't, because I forget sometimes that people haven't known us that long since we moved from base to base. And so they
And in podcast land, if you don't know us personally.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You wouldn't know the answer to that question.
Right.
We sound
equally
gregarious. Either way. Yeah. Wow. What a word. But yeah, we sound equally fine.
Right.
You know, both ways. So I didn't laugh, but I said, "Oh, goodness, it is me for sure. Matthew's actually quite the introvert." And the children's pastor was like, "Really? Man, I really didn't know that, because you are very social and you like being around people. And people these days, especially, I mean, you're in your 30s.
Right.
You've learned to, you know, just you, and because of your job and because of us moving all the time, your introvertedness looks different than it did when we were in high school."
Yeah, for sure. but I think that's an important distinction, because whether or not you're introverted and extroverted doesn't really, you know, social skills and being able to talk to one another and being sociable with people isn't really what introversion and extroversion is about. And I think a lot of times we tend to confuse those two things
and
think that, oh, you're shy, so you must be an introvert. So if you're not shy, then you're not introverted.
Or quiet.
Or quiet.
Right.
You know, it doesn't necessarily mean the same thing. It's about where you get your energy, whether you get energy from spending time with people or whether people drain energy from you.
Like right, having at those the interactions. End of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can carry on a conversation with people.
And love it.
And love it and have a really good time doing it. But then at the end of it, I'm just exhausted.
Right. Whereas we come back from a party or social or something, and I want to keep talking because I'm totally energized.
Right.
Well, you know, I could be physically tired, but mentally, I'm like, wow, let's talk about.
I want to recap every conversation I had the whole night. And I'm like, I did one. I did one round.
I was
round
there
with...
for that. Thanks. Stop it. It's true, though. It's true.
But yeah, so just want to make sure that we're clear in our terms up front, introversion versus extroversion.
Right. Well, and I think the challenge with kids come sometimes where they don't, you know, introverted kids maybe don't have the stamina that we do. Or as you do, as an introverted adult. And so they
may shut down.
They may shut down sooner.
Yeah.
You know? And I think all of us want our kids to be social. We don't necessarily want them to be extroverts or introverts or anything other than what they are.
Right.
But we do like our kids to be social.
Yeah.
And so this time of the year can present kind of some unique challenges.
Right.
To that.
Right. Yeah, because we definitely want them to be personable and have those interpersonal skills,
right?
Where they're able to talk to adults and other kids and stuff,
right?
But we just have to be sensitive to the fact that that can be very exhausting for a kid because it's an exhausting for adults. Even extroverts can get exhausted by so many
or overwhelmed
Yeah, So I think we see it a little bit more with the kids where we walk into a new situation or maybe it's even a familiar situation and the kid is like, oh, you're going to choose this time to be shy, you know, where they're just very clingy or
right.
Like, I don't want to go in or, you know, they feel something first and then they rationalize it. And sometimes that rationalization doesn't really match reality.
Right. But they can't put words to it. They just know, wow, this is a ton of people in a place. You know, if I think of Thanksgiving, we had a wonderful Thanksgiving. But if I think of all the new things that were there for our kids, especially Riley Ann, who's only five, you know, it was a new house that she had never been to before. There was new kids, at least one new kid that she had never met before. But even those other kids she had seen twice ever before. And then a bunch of adults that she didn't know.
Right.
So
it's new toys that are there.
Yeah, which is usually the great thing. But she doesn't know where the toys are that she's, you know, would like. And they don't know where the bathroom is. They don't know all these things that can cause anxiety maybe in children. Even if they handle it fairly well.
Right.
That's what I think gets them to, like, all of a sudden shrink wrap to your leg.
Right.
And say, actually, I don't want to play. Which is difficult for us because we love being around our kids.
Mm-hmm.
But we also really want to be with the adults.
Right.
And have adult conversation.
Yeah, we're at this get-together so that we can get also energized by adult conversations instead of having to talk to the same three 10 and under
crowd
children all the time.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, we love spending time with our kids.
Obviously.
But, yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
But we're there. I mean, let's be honest. I want them to go play.
Right.
And sometimes it feels awkward, too, if they don't want to go play because they're like, is something wrong? You know, the other adults can cause anxiety, and you know the hostess or host has put in time and effort into making people feel comfortable in their home. And so we all start feeling like, no, it's fine.
Right. Go. Start feeling a little self-conscious about it. And and wanting to sort of push our kids to go play.
Yeah.
And push them away.
Well, and I was even thinking our extroverts, you know, sometimes they get overwhelmed and then they start shrink wrapping to us also. And I'm like, what are you doing here? Go play. But they just want to sit and talk with the adults.
Right.
And as much as I'm so proud that they can have a good conversation with adults, I also am like, please go. I love you. Go. And so I, as we were talking about this a little bit before Thanksgiving, it made me very intentional to look at when we were at our friend's house for Thanksgiving and like, all right, I want to see the dynamics of this and how it works. And am I being sensitive and noticing things about my kid that could help them succeed during this holiday season?
Yeah. And what'd you come up with?
I came up with a few things, if you want to know.
I do.
The first one was I went in mentally prepared for Riley to be on my lap for some of it. And to not, I mean, I would never show outwardly that I was frustrated by that to her or to anybody else.
Yeah.
But inwardly, I was like, okay, I'm going to mentally prepare to have you on my lap for some of this time and be okay.
Right.
You know, or maybe say, here, come sit beside me.
Yeah.
The other thing was to have something that could maybe entertain her. So she wasn't, when she was on my lap, she wasn't touching my face or wanting to talk to me as much. So like a coloring book or some, Riley really likes the little people.
Small figurines.
Yeah. Toy. And so to have something like that where she could play quietly, maybe next to me or color quietly next to me and still be near me.
Right.
Happily.
But also enable you to have hands free to get a plate of food or engage with other people, but just be nearby until she felt comfortable enough to go off and play either by herself or with others.
Right.
You know, and that's one of the things that can be difficult too if you're not thinking about it ahead of time is if she goes off and plays by herself, there could, you know, we have this extrovert ideal is what Susan Cain calls it, like where it seems like, oh, she's off playing by herself. What's wrong? Is she okay? Like,
yeah, did something happen?
Did something happen? Did someone say something mean? You know, like, and wanting to come to her rescue.
Yeah.
But really, she's fine. She's just getting comfortable and she's okay, really. And she did end up playing with other kids and, you know, she's very good at that. It's just kind of has to be on her own.
Yeah.
Time
frame. Well, and she's really good one-on-one. She prefers one-on-one with kids. So if she has one little friend over to play, she feels totally happy. Or if there's one little kid at the park, you know, doing similar things. But she did end up, it was really great that she played for a while with other kids, and that was great. But then she went into this extra playroom that they had and played with the dollhouse that they had by herself for quite a long time.
Yeah.
And all the other kids were doing other fun things and she just was happily playing and we were happy that she was doing that.
Yeah.
You know, we felt no inclination to.
Right. And the other, none of the other adults either, they didn't mention anything. And so if they noticed.
Well, one did, but her only mention was, I'm so glad that she has only a son. And so she said, I'm so glad that dollhouse is getting played with as a dollhouse. That was pretty funny because I was like, she's like, because it's always like a battle station or dolls are flying everywhere and being thrown. And so it just warmed her heart to see her dollhouse being played as a dollhouse. So that was nice and perfect. Perfectly fine for her to be off by herself. Sometimes I think at other people's houses, parents are good with it, but somehow we feel some sort of pressure sometimes to have our kids play with the other kids.
Right. Yeah, we want them to play with the other kids, and we want them to be part of this whole big group that's all playing together,
right? You know,
which is kind of an unrealistic expectation.
Yeah. But I think also the challenge comes in even maybe even more in small groups, like when there's only two or three kids.
Yeah.
Or your kids match up perfectly with, you know, another family maybe.
Right.
And she wants to play by herself. That is so awkward. And yet, we shouldn't, you know, we have to be supportive of that because they're trying to learn tools to cope with their own feelings and emotions. And it's usually, especially for a more introverted kid, happening inside. And they can't vocalize that quite as well.
Right. Well, and it can happen the opposite way, too, because, like you said, if they're perfectly matched up and Garrett, who's our most extroverted kid, is matched up with an introverted person who's the, you know, the same age, and then that introverted kid is feeling overwhelmed
and doesn't want to play
with Garrett, that can be really
hard on Garrett.
Hard on Garrett, you know.
Right. And that is another tool that you know we can as parents just almost pre-mentally prepare for, like, if this happens, what am I going to say? And you know that we are all, you know, made differently and cope with things differently, and so this kiddo just wants to play quietly for a little bit. It's not you, like, it's not about you. God made everyone different and to learn from each other and different personality types. So,
yeah,
you know, we just need to be sensitive with that kid, and he'll come play later. You go and play with the other kids that are here, or why don't you read a book or do something else? You know, and moms are usually like, oh yeah, I have puzzles or I have this or that, you know, something else. Moms are great about that stuff.
Right.
Understanding how our other child is feeling and validating those emotions too without... being like, yeah, I don't know. They're just being rude. Like, we would never say that.
Right.
But
we'd be worried that that's how it's coming across.
Right.
You know.
And so we just need to stop apologizing for our kids.
Yeah.
You know.
Just not have these preloaded conceptions of how this is going to go.
Right. Why is my kid not being social?
Right.
And it's like, well, because they don't want to be right now.
Right. Well, and holding that up as the ideal, like, perfect situation when it may not be the perfect situation for the, you know, a particular child in a particular moment, you know, to be able to just kind of hold that idea loosely and say, well, you know, in this moment, this child needs X or Y or whatever, you know, and just being okay with that, because the other adults that you're with, they're going to be okay with that too.
Right. They totally are. We put too much unneeded pressure on ourselves from what other people might think.
Yeah.
A few months ago, we were reading a book called Simplicity Parenting, and it's by Kim John Payne, and it was a really good book. But one of the things that you just said that, like, caused that book to flash into my mind was that sometimes when we even force our kids into the situations, and sometimes we have to, right? Families coming into town for the holidays, or we're going to people's houses for the holidays for, you know, a few days or even a week or 10 days, whatever it is, that we're pushing them into this situation. They have to cope with it.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when we push too hard and say, no, you need to go play with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we all know our own kids, if they can do that. But we could be inadvertently setting ourselves kind of up for failure, failure in the way that that kid may reach a point where it's more of a breaking point. I am so overwhelmed that now I'm throwing a fit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to do this anymore. My brain, it's too much. And so we have to be really aware of that and seeing and trying to see cues. And in that book, they gave an example of this mama whose child just got overwhelmed with the amount of people and the amount of, you know, things that they had to do and the pace of this holiday season when they were in town with family. And she said, if I could pick up on her cues and paid more attention than I was previously to say, hey, let's go run this errand together, just the two of us, you know, and it didn't have to be long. Sometimes it was only like 10 minutes, a quick walk, or maybe they ran down the street to the store to get something totally random that they needed and then back. That was enough time for that child to have peace of mind.
Yeah, to just break from that, you know, kind of getting before they can fall into that downward spiral.
Right, where it's just very hard to come back up after that.
Right.
You know, it takes so much longer once that...
Once that kid is stuck.
And is stuck.
In quicksand.
Right. Introverted or extroverted. I mean, all these kids get into these places where they just get stuck in their emotion. And they can't verbalize really what's wrong. And they're... It's just no fun for anyone. And then it actually is awkward with family. And everybody feels weird. So just to take those cues and not force the issue if it doesn't need to be forced and say, okay, why don't you come over here and read a book? Or why don't you come, you know, sit with me for a little bit and color? Or why don't we go take a walk? Yeah. And allowing your kid to have that breathing space. Mm-hmm. I know for a lot of kids too, it's the noise level. It's not even just being around people, but it's the sensory overload of the noise. Mm-hmm. And I don't actually have a noise sensitivity, really. Right. But in the last year, I've met multiple mamas who do and their kids. And I'm like, oh, I just don't even think of that as a thing because I don't have that. Yeah. But now that I'm more aware of that, I, you know, of course, these moms have found ways to cope with that. And, you know, it's mostly at our homeschool community days. We're inside a big gym for like recess time. Mm-hmm. And it is really loud. Kids are running and screaming and all the parents are talking and it's really loud. And I notice that it's loud, but it doesn't bother me. I don't think about it. Yeah. But other moms have shared with me that it does bother them. And they're always like, oh my gosh, I can't cope with this well.
Right.
And they do, obviously, they've learned to do that. But for a kid who hasn't had 30 years to learn tools to cope with even noise, sometimes that's the thing.
Right.
It's more noise than people, or it's more, you know.
Well, and I think that's true for a lot of adults even. You know, we were, I think like when Sarah and Austin were visiting us in Virginia, and we would sit out on the back porch, and we could hear our neighbor's air conditioning unit going, and we'd be sitting there and we'd be chatting and it'd be fine. And then the air conditioner would cut out and we'd all just be like, oh, like I didn't even realize it was bothering me
until it was gone. Yeah, it's
and,
true.
And so a lot of times our kind of noise bothers environment me. And the situation that we're in is causing more stress on us than we realize. And it's the same for our kids, too. And just removing our kids from that environment for just that short little period of time, even if it's just calling you over to the side and let's just talk about this and let's, you know,
just hang and give a hug.
Or take a look, you know, kind of like we were saying earlier, like, hey, what about this coloring book? Or what about, you know, just doing something different?
Yeah.
For a few minutes until you're ready to re-enter that environment can be really helpful from an emotional standpoint.
Security standpoint. Yeah. Well, and then it will create a better environment for the duration of that trip.
Right.
You know, instead of having lots of meltdowns or having, you know, less sleep because the street, you know, it's just like a, what's a waterfall effect or
Snowball effect.
Yeah, snowball. It's winter.
Yeah.
That's the one I was looking for. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's just kind of what we were thinking about, right? And just the tools for the kids and then the tools even for us adults, realizing, you know, we want to. I was thinking about the other day how I come across to young kids. Mm-hmm. And my niece from our besties is very quiet, and she's super social, but she's very quiet. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think, I know she loves me, and I know she even loves my joking and personality, but sometimes I'm like, I think I'm just coming off a little too strong to these, to this kiddo who I just love, and I want her to know that I love her and want to know that I love being around her, and I want to hear all the things that she's into right away.
Right.
When we get together with her, and I can just tell she's like, Auntie Catherine. Oh my gosh. And I try to pull back, but I'm just so excited.
Right. Well, and you're energized by people, and you're energized by this conversation that you're about to have with her, because
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And so I have to intentionally slow my roll with her and with, you know, just in general, probably. But it's, you know, it's good for me as an adult to be aware of being more sensitive to that.
To how you come across.
To how I come across to yeah. some of these kiddos who need a little bit longer, mm-hmm. you know, to feel comfortable or to, I mean, because she's comfortable with me.
Right.
We see them.
Known her since birth.
Yeah. I've been there since the day she was born. But it's still.
Yeah.
You know, we don't live next door to each other.
Right.
We have to come and visit them and they visit us. So I see her, you know, once or twice a year.
Yeah.
And same with grandparents.
Yeah. Aunts and uncles.
Aunts and uncles.
Even cousins who are the same age. You yeah. know that.
Where we're like, you love Ada. You've been talking about her for months.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Riley doesn't want to play. It's like, she is your best friend.
Right.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
But it just takes a minute. It's that sensitive overload and just saying, okay, like, I am not going to push this. Mm-hmm. Because you will actually want to play with your cousin. You will actually want to go play with these kids.
Right.
But you need to get your bearings. And this season can be so stressful for all of us, mm-hmm. and especially our kids. But we don't notice it as much sometimes because of our own stress and thoughts and doing all the things.
Right.
Because, and all the fun things. They're all fun.
Right.
So,
but it's still work when you're trying to coordinate. Okay, we're going to go to the light show on this day, and we've got the Nutcracker on this day, and we've got this family dinner on this day, right. and... You know, all the things add up. And so we can definitely fall into like feeling the stress as adults. And then yeah. our kids feel that too. They feel our stress, but, you know, they are feeling it in a different way. And just being aware of that and just knowing that this is a stressful time for all of us, I think will help us navigate it a little bit easier and just have grace for one another.
Yeah, always grace for one another. And We think of that a lot for our peers, but big time grace for our kids in this season too, and all these littles.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. And if you would take time real quick to rate and review, especially if you're on iTunes, that's the easiest way to support our podcast and to get the word out, to share what you love about the podcast. You could also post on social media. Your favorite post in your stories, and that
share an episode
that just helps spread the word. And you can find us on Instagram at r.nuclear.family, or you can find our website
rnuclearfam.com.
Thanks so much.
Have a great day.